doing podcast stuff. So, I'm Twisted Cat.
I'm Batman.
We just saw...
The Creepers.
And it wasn't the, it's just Creepers.
Just Creepers? Okay.
Okay, so Creepers from Liverpool. And then followed by Love and Rockets. And then Juana's Addiction.
Jane's Addiction.
Okay, so I was interested to see Creepers.
Yes.
And they were great about three quarters of the way through, and then the sound guy, like, I don't know, had a stroke.
Yeah, had no clue who they were, no foreknowledge, no anything. No, they were awesome.
It's three women and one guy, or three female-bodied people and one guy. They're queer, so I'm not going to make any assumptions. Really?
You read their bio, I didn't, so.
Yeah, all I remember is that they're queer and they're from Liverpool. Really good stuff, like punk alt.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even put it that much like punk alt stuff. I mean, they were kind of just rock. I didn't get that much huge punk vibe from them, really. Hmm. I got
did.
Just more of a, like, gritty Liverpool rock, just that, yeah. You know, British blue-collar rock sort of thing going.
Sure. So, but anyway, they were great.
Great energy on the lead singer. She was, you know, working it the whole time. The drummer was very serious.
I loved his hair, though. He looked so petable.
Yes, he was.
He was like a teddy bear or something.
He was like marbled cloud leopard Ryan Reynolds playing drums. He had one of those, like, buzz cut, but part dyed and part bleached. And
it just looked so fluffy.
It was fancy. But he was very serious. Very, very. Music is serious business, yes. The guitar player was, like, completely face, body, monotone. Like,
there I think was... you're thinking of the bass player. The guitar player was the one with the two-tone hair.
I swear that was the bass. No, yeah, she was bass.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Because she had like an 8-string bass.
Hmm.
It was it, but yeah, no, she was bass player.
Okay.
It was the guitar player that was, I mean, she was playing and she's singing along, but she had like, there was, I will not move, I will not smile.
Yeah, there was a little bit of I am in my box sort of a thing going on.
Straight ahead. And up until like the second to last song, she like kind of busted out and she came up to the front and was dancing around a little bit. And then she went back to her mic and stood there and was like, I will not move again ever.
Sometimes it is comfy in one's box. But yeah, like three quarters of the way through the set, the sound guy had some kind of a stroke and all of a sudden the bass went through the roof.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
It was disturbing.
It was less than optimal.
I have it on video. You can look at it if you want. I'll put a link in the comments or in the post. But yeah, that was fascinating.
Anyways, Creepers, great.
Yeah, check them out.
Awesome
little band.
Check them out. Go see them if they're wanting to play the U.S. again.
Yeah.
I
was sad because the venue opened doors half an hour before the show started, and so nobody got to see them, which made me very sad because they deserved a better audience.
Yeah, they opened the doors, like, either on the dot or, like, a minute or two late at 6:30, and they started the show, like, the first band went on 3 minutes before 7.
So if you're ever going to the YouTube Theater, by the way, they start either on time or slightly early. And if you have any interest in the opening band, get
be
here early.
Be on time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do not be late at YouTube Theater.
That's how we missed Plush, which yep. Annoyed me.
That
was
sad.
All right. So, and then there was Lugs and Sprockets. I mean, Love and Rockets.
Love and Rockets.
So.
Sadly.
Oh my God.
This review will not necessarily be
about
on
the band.
Love and Rockets because... I still don't really have any idea about anything that Love and Rockets does.
But, okay, so I know a bunch of Love and Rockets, and they would get to a certain point in the song and be like, oh, that's the song they're doing. But the sound guy needs to be fired.
Sound was abysmal all the way through, from being unintelligible, with too much bass, with this, with that, with constant intermittent feedback.
And all I could really, really hear clearly was the drums.
Yeah, as well as constant intermittent digital noise coming from somewhere, and the only place that it could have come from is the guitar pack, which is the only wireless device on stage, and yet still there was digital noise through most of the songs throughout the night.
Yeah.
It was, by the time they were on their second to last song, they were still having feedback issues.
And at one point, the one guy was gesturing angrily at the sound person.
Yeah. Well, in at least at that point, they had just switched over to a different guitar. And so he was on an acoustic guitar, and it was way too low, and they had technical issues, and they had to go completely dark and completely quiet for a minute to fix it. And they got it fixed, and then it came up, and then they started the song, and it was so loud it was feeding back. So he's to the sound guy, and yeah, it was.
You realize that on an audio thing, nobody can see what you just did with your hands, but
he did the hand down thing. But it was, it was
suboptimal and
abysmal.
And the LD, apparently hates the audience. He was one of those lighting guys who just hates the audience.
Hates the audience. So they had some of their own lights on stage, and there's a wonderful house rig in there. The first band used it. The last band used it. The middle band opted to use very, very minimal bits of the house lighting system and use all of their own stuff that they put on stage, most of which they would aim directly out at the balcony in the audience, sit it there, and then pulse it and strobe it and do things with it. But not much. Not enough to do anything.
I closed my eyes for most of the set.
Or he would leave a thing on and he'd have a strobe going on three of the lights up there that are hitting the band, and the band would stop and it'd be in between songs, and he'd leave the strobes on. And he would have one set for a song. It's the only thing I can think of that would make it somewhat excusable is if the band was the Violent Femmes and was don't do any of that fancy disco stuff. Just turn the light on. If you want to change colors for a different song, okay, but that's it. But the problem was it wasn't even doing that.
It was too strobey.
They were doing fancy stuff.
Warden would have had a seizure.
They were doing it just very, very poorly.
And then the big screens were black and white for the entire set.
Yeah. I don't know whether it was just an artistic choice or knowing the fact that it was going to be this very contrasty, backlit, kill the audience with lights thing. We went to black and white just so that we could actually see the band on stage. I got nothing. It was...
Yeah. And so this is the YouTube theater. We like the YouTube theater. The sound here is usually excellent.
Yeah.
The lighting is usually good. I absolutely blame the techs for this.
These were, whether it was the techs or it was a designer somewhere, this was a choice. Somebody chose to do this, and their lighting engineer... either didn't know how to or couldn't or something control the house rig and was just using their stuff and barely touching the other stuff. I don't even know. But the whole crew basically just deserves to be fired.
Yeah.
They should not be working in this industry.
No.
It was sad.
Yeah.
Like I said, I still have no actual...
I would like to actually see Love and Rockets play sometime, but, you know.
I recognized, one, maybe two songs, but even there, it was, about halfway through, I was like, wait, I know this song.
Yeah, I would have to, listen really carefully. I kept taking out my earplugs to go, am I just blocking all of the other noise than the drums? Nope. Put your earplugs back in. There was a lot of high-end and a lot of low-end and no music.
Yeah, and there was a lot of the monotone kind of doop, doop, doop.
Yeah, that was stuff. Annoying.
That was when I first started hearing the digital noise and was wondering if it was part of the song, but it wasn't coming on at any particular thing. But then it continued for the next three songs, so I was like, yeah, okay, no, it's not. And when your guitar or mic or whatever feeds back, six times in the, eighth song...
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
You've had enough time to dial it in.
It's a three-man band.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that hard.
We're not talking an orchestra here, and you don't have to dig to find, wait, who is that? Who's on stage that's feeding back? No, there's three of them. One's a drummer, you got a bass player, and you got a guitar player. You cannot get more basic than that.
Yeah, right. So, all right. So just so we don't lose our entire audience, all three of you, Jane's Addiction.
Jane's Addiction.
The sound got better, by the way, so it wasn't anything of the equipment. So I had forgotten how much Jane's Addiction to me is sacred space. There is something ethereal and magic about them. My first Jane's Addiction show was 1990, I want to say. Like, I think it was the first Lollapalooza. And I just, they create this aura and this energy. And they did it this time, too. Of course, we had, like, fucking Bob and Doug McKenzie behind us.
No,
like...
no. Bob and Doug McKenzie are funny. We had, like, the Uncle Tito and Uncle Pepe behind us.
So can we normalize not foisting yourself on other people during a concert?
Oh, Jesus. By the time the set was over, it was literally all I could do to not turn around and say something going to start a fight. Because anything that I said was going to start a fight, and I had no other backups.
I did give them a mom look, and they shut up for a little while.
I mean, I turned around and said something, and then they talked about it for a little bit, and then they chattered about it.
And then at some point, I turned around and gave them a mom look, and they just shut right the fuck up. And I was like, it's fascinating.
The woman next to you did right after as well.
But let's get back to Jane's Addiction.
But Jane's Addiction. They were fantastic.
Dave was so on.
Yeah, he was on. He was just... He was riding the wave.
And, Perry was Perry, first of all. He's a little weird. But, you know, he talked about how much the ocean means to him because it gave him back his son.
Well, that was, like, late in the set.
Yeah, but, I mean, he the whole way through, he was kind of parrying.
Every song that came up had a little short, like, three-sentence story that led into the song.
Yeah.
It was great. I also want to say that it was really funny that the bass player did not, in fact, get the memo that we're doing Cowboys today.
I spent a good portion of the set going, what is Perry wearing and why? I mean, Dave was just dressed like Dave. I mean, you know. So it happened to have a Southwestern hat on.
He had the Southwestern, like, cowboy, you know, chilling in the saloon vibe. And, yeah.
Perry was just dressed, I don't know.
It was, especially with the hat, it was, you know, cowboy farmhand, you know, chilling out in the back 40 somewhere.
It was really kind of, I don't know, American Gothic almost. Oh, yeah. You know? Anyway.
It toned down when he took the hat off. Yeah. And you could see his face more. But with the hat on, it was like, okay, we're doing a Wild West saloon thing. With the leather fingerless gloves and...
Oh, yeah, the bass player totally didn't get the memo.
Oh, yeah, no, did not get the memo. Was wearing basic black and, like, just plain bass.
But they were so good.
Yeah,
it was good.
It was a great show. I mean, they were on, they were engaged, they were engaging the crowd.
They played everything. Like, there could have not been an... There was no possibility of an encore, because they played everything.
Yeah. I mean, they had to. The two guys behind us told them that they had to at the beginning, because they were going to leave if they didn't, you know, play them. Like, I wish they... I mean, they didn't play at the beginning, which was what they were saying, and I'm sad that they didn't leave.
Yeah. But that's just... It's okay. But that was the last band was a lovely show.
Yeah. Jane's Addiction. If you haven't heard of them,
where have you been?
You are 12. And you should probably not be listening to this fucking podcast, youngin.
Why are you listening to this podcast if you don't know who they are?
This is old people talking about music and cursing. Anyways,
Perry talked about the paradigm shift, and I'm very excited about that, too.
He did. That was part of our dinner conversation.
It was. Because that's all I talk about these days. That was really good, and I'm very excited. And Patch and I are going to go see Hailstorm and I Prevail this weekend in Vegas.
I Prevail, co-headlining.
Yes.
Instead of opening this
And
time.
Amusingly, I bought the tickets because Ray wanted to go. And then she couldn't go because her daughter's got a thing. And we ran into Ray at the show.
Yeah, Ray was here tonight, sitting about two rows behind us and about four seats over.
By herself? She came by herself.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
It was amusing.
Yes, thereby proving that I cannot go anywhere without running into someone I know. But yeah, okay, so I've been Twisted Cat.
I'm still Batman.
Get in the van!
We're doing podcast stuff!